June 30th, 1908. Christ's Living Epistles. Ellen G. White. The Apostle Paul says to his Corinthian brethren, "Ye are the epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart." For the disciples of Christ are his representatives upon the earth. If they obey the teachings of Christ in his Sermon on the Mount, they will be seeking continually for perfection of character, and they will become mediums through whom God will communicate his divine will, the truth of heavenly origin, to those who have no knowledge of the way of life and salvation. The people of God are lights in the moral darkness of the world, dotting the country, the towns, the villages, and the cities, a spectacle unto the world, to angels, and to men. God cannot display the knowledge of his will and the wonders of his grace in the unbelieving world without these his witnesses. This is God's plan, that men and women who are partakers of his great salvation through Christ shall be his missionaries, bodies of light throughout the world, living epistles, known and read of all men, their faith and works testifying to the near approach of the coming Savior, and that they have not received the grace of God in vain. The people must be warned to prepare for the coming judgment, and for this purpose God calls for workers who are true and faithful, pure and holy, for those who have felt their own need of the atoning blood of Christ and the sanctifying grace of his Spirit. The self-sufficient, the envious and jealous, the critical and fault-finding can well be spared. When we see men firm in principle, fearless in duty, zealous in the cause of God, gentle and tender, patient toward all, ready to forgive, manifesting love for souls for whom Christ died, we know they have the wisdom from above, that is, first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. And the Lord can bless their labors as he cannot those of the self-centered and self-sufficient. All the followers of Jesus have their work to do in their families, in their neighborhoods, in the towns and cities where they live. If they are consecrated, they become channels of light. God makes them instruments of righteousness to communicate the light of truth, the riches of his grace to others. The unbelieving may appear indifferent and careless, yet God impresses and convicts their hearts that there is a reality in the truth. It is God's design that all should be warned and tested, and have an opportunity to decide for or against the truth, that they may be without excuse. To those who have been listening only to fables, God will give an opportunity to hear the sure word of prophecy, whereunto they will do well to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place. The truth will be presented to all who will take heed, contrasting truth with the fables taught by men who profess to understand the Word of God and to be able to instruct those in darkness. Such is the value of men made in the image of God, that the Father is satisfied with the infinite price paid when he yielded up his own dear Son to die for their redemption. What wisdom, mercy, and love in its fullness are here manifested. It is through the cross alone that we can estimate the worth of a human soul. What a responsible work to unite with the world's Redeemer in the work of saving men for whom he died. This is a work that calls not only for self-sacrifice and benevolence, but also for perseverance, courage, and faith. The reason that the results of the labors of many who minister in word and doctrine are so small is that they have not the fruits of the grace of God in their own hearts and lives. Many manifest a wonderful submission in seeing the unconverted all around them going to perdition. A minister has no right to sit down at ease when the truth is powerless, and souls are not stirred by its presentation. He should resort to prayer. He should work and pray without ceasing. In order for laborers to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth, they must have a varied experience, which will be best acquired in extended labor in new fields, coming in contact with all classes of people, living in different localities, and with all varieties of minds. This calls into exercise varied talents. It drives the true laborer to God and the Bible for light and strength and knowledge, that he may be able to meet the wants of the people. He should heed the exhortation given to Timothy: "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Wisdom is needed to decide on the most appropriate subjects to be presented on different occasions.
Again, Paul exhorts Timothy: "Be thou an example to the believers in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee."